comfort you. Godspeed unites you, and you are concerned for others. Now make me completely happy, live in harmony by showing love for each other. Be united in what you think, as if you were only one person. Don't be jealous or proud, but be humble and consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves, and think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. Christ was truly God, but he did not try to remain equal with God. Instead, he gave up everything and became a slave when he became like one of us. Christ was humble, he obeyed God and even died on a cross. Then God gave Christ the highest place and honoured his name above all others. So at the name of Jesus, everyone will bow down, those in heaven, on earth and under the earth. And to the glory of God the Father, everyone will openly agree, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, Jan.
Bless you.
Well, I always say I don't like to have favourites, but that is certainly one of my favourite passages of Scripture. And we're continuing our series through August called Keys for Living the Christian Life. And with a little subtext or a subtitle for it, really, in spite of the fact that we're sinful. And what we looked at, and it fits in with some of the things that we've looked at in recent weeks that other people have spoken about, that the heart is deceitful above all things, isn't it? And desperately wicked. And we are sinful people. How can I be a Christian? And thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross. And you made a way where there was no way. And but how do we live the Christian life? Some of the things that I've spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. In fact, let's just pray, shall we? Lord, as we just come to your word. Oh, Lord. We want to just thank you for your word that speaks to us. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will come and speak to us through your word right now in Jesus' name. That you'll put your words in my mouth, Lord. And that, Lord, they'll just be what you want me to say. And that, Holy Spirit, you'll just give us that unction of your Holy Spirit, each one of us, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was blessed this morning, actually. I was. Does anybody have the daily YouVersion verse for the day? A verse pops up on your phone. Does anybody have that? Some of us have that. Today is part of what we've just read, actually, which was really blessed. Well, that's encouraging when that happens, isn't it? But a couple of weeks ago, what I spoke about really was the fact that on this subject was this, how can we live a Christian life, a godly life? How can we be successful? Success being living the way that God wants us to live, to accomplish living the way that God wants us to do. Well, some of the things that were really important, the big, big titles, the big important things were this, that obviously we're saved and we're a Christian, number one, that's important. But that we read the Bible, this is really simple, yet this is really powerful and really profound. That we get our Bible and we read it every day and we do what it says. I mean, that's my sermon in a nutshell. I can sit down and go home now because that is my sermon if we do what it says in here. But of course, we want to dig a bit deeper and find out what it says. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's a really important thing. When we get saved, we have a deposit of the Holy Spirit. But then there is a baptism where we are full of the Holy Spirit, and that changes things and that helps us a lot. And then something really important is this great motivator, and that is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with everything that's in you, with every fibre of your being. And then it says this, and love your neighbour as yourself. Loving God might be easier than loving your neighbour, but that's what we're called to do. And then it goes on and says other things, doesn't it? About loving your enemy. Oh, that gets a little bit of a... That's a bit tougher, isn't it? But when we do those things, it makes a big difference. And 2 weeks ago, I spoke about this really important theme of seek first the kingdom of God. In all that we do, not just coming to church on a Sunday, but in all that we do, we prioritise God in our lives. And if you remember, played that video where there's a big glass jar and he puts all the marbles in first, then the big pebbles, which are the important things. And the pebbles didn't fit in because all the things that were unimportant were put in first. And when you put the rocks in and poured the pebbles in, it all fitted in. You know, when we prioritise God, life flows a lot easier, really. And we need to prioritise God. And really, those things, if you like, Jesus is our concrete foundation. Now, if you see modern buildings, and this is one of them, when this was built in 1984, you can still see some of the structure underneath here as some red RSJs and grey as well. I know that because I've seen them in the eaves, where it's not ideal for me going in, really, you know, because I'm just too tall. But there's girders, RSJs, that's what they're called, that are the structure. So the foundation, really, we could say the concrete is Jesus. Our lives are built on Jesus. And the framework, the steel, is these really important things. Reading the Bible, prayer, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And everything else, the bricks and everything else, are just as important, but they're part of the detail of how we live our lives. The principles by which we live by, and that's what it's about, isn't it? We want to live by God's biblical principles, doing life the way God wants us to. If you've tried to do things your own way, how many of us can attest to that? I've done it my way, but actually God's way is better. I can only see three hands. Come on, you know, we know what it's like to do it our way because we know best, don't we? We know better. And one of the principles, and the principle that I want to talk to about today, that appreciate you reading that, Jan, thank you. What version was that, Jan, by the way? It was a lovely version. I like what it said. The contemporary English version. And this principle that I want to talk about is humility. I'm really proud this morning to talk about humility. Of course, I'm saying that for effect. And just give me a look and she's like, yeah. I've said that for effect, and it's worked. This is a really, really important principle. I cannot stress enough how important this principle is. In fact, it's a serious subject, but we're going to have a little bit of fun this morning. This is my little... Now, the kids love this, don't they? The God's own. They all go, they're too old for this. They're eight, and they're too old for it. But you put this on. I'm going to put it on, I think. Oh, this is really bumping. I don't know, it's really fun. I do really. See, that's humility, that is, because wherever the switch has gone, if you think you've got humility, it kind of disappears. It disappears, doesn't it? And the thing is with humility, you need it, but it seems to me the second that you know that you've got it, it kind of disappears, doesn't it? Because you think, oh, hey, I'm doing all right, ain't I? Oh, ouch. And the last few weeks, well, Mandy had some props as well, didn't she? And we've had a few PowerPoints, so you'll remember that now. It's a delicate thing, and I really believe that humility is a really, really delicate thing, because we can start to think, wow, the church is going well, aren't we great? And what we really need to think is this, and we've said this all along, I make no apologies for this ever. We give Jesus Christ all the glory for everything that happens. And the second that we do stop doing that, we're in big trouble, I really believe. Yeah. And we need to be like that. But as we think about that passage of scripture from Philippians chapter 2, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It all says a similar thing, really, is this. And these are important things. I want to sort of just read these quickly again and just remind us of these, because these are not the sort of main point, but they're really important. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Now, this sounds to me like it's talking about unity, which is one of the things that we're praying for, which is an important thing. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Wow, do you know what? That section of a few verses, four verses there, is so incredibly powerful. Because you know what? If we do that, you think about it. If I prefer Tim more than I prefer myself, but he's preferring Anthony more than himself, and Anthony's preferring Ruth, and we're all preferring each other, suddenly we have this wonderful picture of unity and of love, don't we, for each other, where we're actually putting other people first. And the point is this, really, that we shouldn't do anything from selfish ambition or from selfish motives. The world's a very selfish place, isn't it? If I was giving one of them, if you've ever heard of them TED Talks, I had to tell Mandy what they were. I don't know the detail. I'll explain it later. In fact, I'll work out what it is. But they give these talks about stuff. But really, I don't think they'd be talking about these things, really, because the way up in business is, really, you've got to work hard and you've got to have that selfish ambition, haven't you, really? When it comes to the way of the world. But God's way is different. And the principles of the kingdom of God are very different from the principles of the kingdom of this world. And really, we do well to find the principles of God and live by them. And I think this is just a beautiful section here whereby we can say, you know what, if we do this as well, this is going to be such a blessing to our lives. If we're like-minded, if we're of one accord, if we do nothing at all through selfish ambition, put others first, and be of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That's a real key things for us to think about. And they're just there at the start, and that's not my particular main focus today. And it continues, doesn't it, that we should have this mind, which is verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We've got to have the same mind as Christ. And 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us this, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He has given us a big help here, because it's not something that we're going to try and work at or understand, but we have the mind of Christ. And really, the point is this, the next verses 5 to 11 talk about Jesus Christ and the mindset that he had, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, the mindset of Jesus was one of humility. This, it's hard for us to comprehend. This is the Son of God. He is the part of the Trinity. Jesus is God. And yet, he readily came from heaven, paradise, to come and live on this earth in this body of flesh that is weak in the flesh, isn't it? And he lived among us, and he humbled himself, and he humbled himself to the death on the cross. He endured the crown of thorns and the whipping and the beatings and the mocking and all of the things that we know about what happened to Jesus all those 2,000 or so years ago. And Jesus did this willingly. And the principle here is very clear, that as Jesus humbled himself, and I love this, the next bit, it says this, verse 9 starts, therefore, because of all of that, this happened. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's a really, really powerful scripture. But the principle in there is this, that as we humble ourselves, God lifts us up. And you know, this theme, this principle runs through the whole of the Bible. I could have quoted so many scriptures today, and we'll quote a few, that speak to us about this principle. And it's a principle that we need to have in our lives. You know, Jesus is always our great example. The fact that he's not just far off, the fact that he knows what it's like to live in these frail human bodies, the fact that he knows what it's like to live a life that he was tempted, it says he was tempted to all points, but he didn't sin. Getting tempted is one thing, it's what we do with it. Jesus did nothing with it, he was tempted and he didn't sin. And Jesus is always our great example, and he leads by example. We should lead by example. You know, if I start leading by just what I say, that's not leading, is it? That's do as I say, not do as I do. Actually, actions speak louder than words. And the actions of Jesus Christ and what he did for us, how he humbled himself for the death on the cross, speaks so clearly and so powerfully for us and to us. In Philippi, where Paul has written this letter to the church, Philippi is under a Roman authority, and the Romans, their religion or their cult, was that people like Caesar were gods. That's how they revered them. In fact, when Caesar was dead, they made him a god. I see the irony of that, don't you? The fact that he was dead, he's now become a god. You know, he was dead, unlike Jesus who rose back to life. And so these leaders were great revered people. And yet really they were just people just like anybody else, weren't they? And so for God to be in the form of Jesus and for the Philippian church to understand the reality of what Paul was saying, that Jesus humbled himself, therefore God has exalted him. Contrast that to the Roman leaders who exalted themselves, didn't they? And they ruled by their armies. Their great armies. They were incredible, really, all the things that they did. And yet, they were completely wrong, weren't they? The truth is, when we humble ourselves, God raises you up. And I love this phrase, God's way up is down. If you want to succeed, humble yourself before God, because he will raise you up. And that runs right through the whole of the Bible. In Luke 18:14, it says this, for everyone, listen to this carefully, this is sort of the opposite of it, isn't it, really? For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And that theme runs right through the whole of Scripture. But then again, it tells us what we've already just read. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Wow. You know, I'm going to do this little sketch. Can I have some help? Will somebody come and help me? Come on, Anita. You don't know what I'm going to do, do you? Might be a £20 prize. I want you to, I'm going to do something, and I want you to say this. Well, you've got to say that to me, or Pete. So you've got to come up here with me, yeah? Because I'm really rich. Oh, hang on. Nearly fell. Probably went before a fall then. I'm really grand, and I'm going to sit in the best chair in the house.
You can't sit there.
Why not? I feel really embarrassed now. I'm so sorry. Where shall I sit? Can I sit down here? Shall I sit at the back?
Yes.
Where I belong. This is so embarrassing. Contrast that. I'm going to look at the back now because this is. But I'm going to actually sit at the back. And then, Anita, can you call me forward? Because I'm going to sit back here, out of the way where nobody can see. I can sit up there. Oh, see what it did look. I've had an upgrade to first class. I can come and see what we're here now. Thanks, Anita. That worked really well, to say we've not rehearsed it, I've just made it up really. But I can sit up here now because That's what God does, isn't he?
Yeah.
He takes us when we humble ourselves, and he puts us right where he wants us, in the VIP section. And that's for all of us, isn't it? You know, when we humble ourselves. And when I think about that, can you imagine? We had a wedding here at the end of May, and obviously I'm the pastor, I did the wedding, somebody brought the word, and it was a lovely ceremony. When we were invited back to the, what's the thing?
Reception.
I was going to say wedding, but it's reception. I'm joking. It was a wonderful reception. And, of course, there was the top table. Now, I could have gone in there and said, well, I'm the pastor, I've married this couple, I'm going to sit at the top table where everybody can see me. I mean, that would be embarrassing when it comes to the speeches and they say, oi, go and sit on the table over there in the cheap seats. And that's the picture that is being painted. This was what Jesus said in one of his parables. And Jesus is showing a point that we should humble ourselves. Because when we humble ourselves, God will put you exactly where he wants you to be. I think it's such an important thing. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honour is humility. Wow. James 4:6, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When you read the scripture like that, you know, if we were having an altar call and saying, come on, let's humble ourselves, we should run to the front, shouldn't we, and say, yes, you know, because pride is a terrible thing, and humility is the antidote for it. And 1 Peter 5:5 says this, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in Matthew 23:12, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And there's so many more. And that's just a theme that goes right through Scripture about humility. And humility is a principle. I don't know whether we should call things principles or laws or rules, or, you know, whether they're all slightly different things on the same theme. But if I throw this up in the air, what is going to happen? And it's really light. Oh, Amanda, you're right. In fact, Kathleen, you're right at the front. How heavy is that? It's very light, isn't it? But what's going to happen? If it's really light, it's going to go up, isn't it? What's going to happen if I throw it up? It's going to come back down, isn't it? It's a principle, it's a law, it's a rule of the universe, isn't it? We were at the cricket yesterday, me and Beth, so I should have bought the leather ball, shouldn't I, really, and thrown that up in the air. It came down, didn't it? What will happen if I do that again? You think it'll do, will it go up? Girls, what's going to happen to this? It's going to go down. There you go, look. Sorry, it hasn't injured you, has it? Good job of that bringing the cricket ball, isn't it? And it's a principle that will always work, just like gravity on Earth always works, doesn't it? Every single time, when you humble yourself, God will exalt you. And we sang that song, He'll Never Let You Down. And the truth is, God's principles always work all of the time. He'll never let you down. When you humble yourself, He will exalt you. Pride goes before a fall. You know, I'm sure we've all experienced it. Well, you probably haven't, but I know I have. When you say you can do something, and then you fall flat on your face. And, oh, I can do that easily. I can put the words on the laptop this morning, no problem at all, but then it don't work, and it's difficult, and you forgot how to do it. And whatever goes wrong, then you think, oh, no, it's a nightmare. Everything's going wrong. Psalm 138:6 says this. Just think about this. Just close your eyes and just think about this. Contemplate on this word for a moment. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. You know, the truth is, humility brings us close to God. And that reminds me of that lovely sermon that that David brought the other week, mind the gap. One of the ways that we could add to what David said was this: through humility, we mind the gap between us and God. Because when we pray, he still knows us, but from a distance. Mind the gap by being humble. Now, if you want to achieve anything in the kingdom of God, you should make yourself serve a tool. If you want to be anything in the kingdom of God, you should do it by being humble. I mentioned the other week about prosperity gospel, didn't I? The prosperity gospel is give me lots of money and you will get lots in return, and there's lots more to it. There's more than just that to it. Life is just sort of perfect with the prosperity gospel, which in reality, life is difficult and life is challenging. Life is good, life has its ups and downs, and as we've sung today, but God is faithful. And what we do in life when things are not going so well is we turn to him and we stay close to him. And when things are going well, we should stay close to him. The temptation is, it's like taking tablets, isn't it, that make you feel better. And you think, well, I feel better now, so you stop taking it, and then you feel ill again. You know, the truth is when we stay close to God and focus on him, and he will help us in all that we do. But if we want to achieve anything in the kingdom of God, it's through humility. Jesus made himself of no reputation. That's quite the thing, isn't it? This is the Son of God, and he makes himself of no reputation. He humbles himself. And he says this in Mark 9. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed amongst yourselves on the road? This is the disciples having an argument about who is the greatest. But they kept silent. So there they were quite arguing with one another. Going, yeah, I'm the greatest. I think I'm the best because I'm this. And the other was, well, I'm better than you because, you know, I could catch more fish than you and whatever. And they were arguing. And then Jesus asks them the question and they kept silent. It's interesting, isn't it? They didn't say, oh, Jesus, we were just saying about who's the greatest. You know, I think it's me. And they all kept silent. You know, Jesus just pulled them up there and they stopped in their tracks, and they must have realised at that point, uh-oh, we're in some trouble here with Jesus because of what we're talking about. And of course, Jesus is very gracious and very gentle. And this is what he happens. So they're walking along, and then Jesus, after he finds out that he knows what's going on, and he sat down, called the 12 and said to them, oh, that was when they thought we were in some trouble here. And he said this: if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. You see, Jesus is teaching them a great lesson, that if they want to be someone in the kingdom of God, if they want to achieve anything in life, that they should become the servant of all. You know, we could very easily use a sermon like this to say, come on everybody, sign up to volunteer and all that kind of thing. And that's what he's saying, isn't he, really? Be a servant to everybody else. But in closing, really, how can we be humble? Well, we have to do the things that we've talked about. We have to put others first. We have to do nothing with selfish ambition. We have to stay close to God. We have to do all of these things. And I like this. And I read verse 14 from Luke 18, but I want to read a few more verses from verse 9. Also, Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In the contrast of these two men's prayer lives, this Pharisee gets up so everybody can see him and extols the virtues of how wonderful he is and all the wonderful things that he is, because he's got the wrong perspective, hasn't he? He can see all the things, the trappings of his life that he's got. And obviously, you know, I'm sure he did all of these things that he was bragging about. But his heart was a million miles away from God, wasn't it? He was telling everybody. You know, it wasn't even a private prayer, was it? It was so everybody could hear. And yet this tax collector prays a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Couldn't even look up to heaven. Couldn't even look around him. With his head bowed low, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wow, what a powerful, powerful prayer that is. When we recognise that we are nothing without God, when we recognise that whether we have money or not doesn't make any difference when it comes to God, when we recognise that we brought nothing into the world and we take nothing out of it, when we realise and recognise that without God we are nothing, and yet when we humble ourselves with him, he will exalt us and lift us up. Paul has some more advice in his letter to the Roman church in Rome. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honour, giving preference to one another. Some great examples there of what we should do and how we should do things. And really, the answer to all of this, as I read through the Bible, is this. Humility is an attitude. Humility is a choice, isn't it? I can choose how I'm going to live my life. I can choose to be proud. I can choose to be humble. But we should choose a life of humility, because it will lift us up. The great theologian Jonathan Edwards, his quote says this: we must view humility as one of the most essential things that characterise true Christianity. To work on humility is a real important part of our lives. Amen? Let's pray, shall we, then? I'm going to ask the worship team if we could just sing "I Surrender All." And as we do that, I'd like us to take the offering. And I'd like us to take a moment, really, just between you and God, that we would humble ourselves as we sing this song. Lord, we just come before you, Lord, and we want to be humble. We pray that you'd teach us how to be humble, that, Lord, we would choose to be humble, that, Lord, we would choose to prefer others, and that, Lord, that we would do everything that we read in your word to be humble. And as we humble ourselves, I pray, Lord, that you would just put us in the place